Right. Well, good morning, church. It's good to be here. God is so good. Amen. Wanted to make a couple announcements. We have a really special Sunday today, but just a couple announcements. There's a lot of them in your bulletin, so read through those. But one to add is this week at Calvary, we're hosting a missionary on Wednesday night. He's going to talk about what's going on with Awana. Through Awana in Nepal and Southeast Asia. His name, if I probably mess it up here, but Gahendra Tamang will be here. So if you are interested in hearing about what God is doing through Awana, you can come at 5:30. There'll be a meal there, some spaghetti dinner. All are welcome. If you want to let the office know, or Greta, you can let Greta Burke know, or the office, if you want to come and join us for that. Just a reminder about giving. There's lots of ways to give at Calvary. If you've been blessed, if this place feeds you spiritually and you want to give, you can text to give. You can go online, the website. You can drop in the back. Lots of ways to give. So yeah, like I said, this is a really special Sunday here at Calvary. It's Confirmation Sunday, so we're going to bless. The youth, we're gonna pray for them. We're gonna impart something to them, hopefully, and we're gonna hear from them. So I'm really excited for that. But not only do we have the confirmads here, we also have a couple graduating seniors we want to bless as well. So we're gonna bless. We're gonna just hear from them a little bit here right now, and then we're gonna kind of bless them, pray for them at the end of the service. So I want to invite up any of the high school seniors. I think there's at least two here today that we want to introduce you to. And while they're coming up here, I wanted to just make note of, I'm wearing this t-shirt here. You guys are what's with the t-shirt? The t-shirt says, "Dear Generation, Jesus loves you." And then it's got the date from yesterday, 5/14/22, the send. And you're like, what's that about? So yesterday, there was a really amazing event in Kansas City, a gathering at Arrowwood Stadium, of thousands of young people, and it was just a chance to impart, pray for, and send out the next generation for the gospel. And I just thought, that's really cool, and that's kind of what we're doing today, not only with the confirmands, but with some graduating seniors. We want to bless them. We believe that God is moving in their lives, and that they have a purpose for their generation. Amen? Amen. So I'm going to have these two introduce themselves, and then we'll move along.
Hi, I'm Ben Carlson, and I am going to graduate from Park Christian School this year, and my plans this fall are to study computer science at NDSU.
My name is Carter Castoris. I'm graduating across the river at Morehead High School, and my future plans are majoring in Naval Architecture Marine Engineering at the United States Naval Academy.
Yeah. You know, these are two really talented guys. I mean, I've seen them. They're good at sports. They're super smart. But they both have a heart for the Lord. I really believe that. And both of you guys, I know God has a special calling on your life. So we're going to pray for that at the end of the service. You guys can take a seat. So bless you guys.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Well, this morning we are so excited to have so many here to celebrate the confirmands that we have. So many, these young men have been going through a great process in their confirmation. And so before we get started, we just want to talk a little bit about what confirmation is and the stated purpose of this occasion. So confirmation deepens our baptismal life that calls us to be missionary witnesses of Jesus Christ in our families, neighborhoods, society, and the world. Through confirmation, our personal relationship with Christ is strengthened. We receive the message of faith in a deeper and more intensive manner with greater emphasis given to the person of Jesus Christ, who asked the Father to give the Holy Spirit to the church for the building up, the community, and loving service. The Holy Spirit bestows upon us seven gifts: wisdom, understanding, knowledge, fortitude, counsel, piety, and the fear of the Lord, to assist us in our mission and witness. The impact of these gifts accompanies us in the various stages of our spiritual development. As the confirmed, we walked with the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. Wisdom enables us to see the world from God's point of view, which can help us to come to grasp the purpose and the plan of God. It grants us the long-range view of history, examining the present in the light of the past and the mystery of the future. It saves us from the illusion that the spirit of the times is our only guide. The Spirit's gift of knowledge directs us to be contemplative, thoughtful, and reflection of the mystery of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as well as of the mysteries of the Christian faith. We are drawn to meditative prayer and the Word, where we allow God to lead us while we rest patiently in His divine presence. Third, the gift of understanding stimulates us to work on knowing ourselves as part of our growth in knowing God. It is, as what St. Augustine said, that we may know you, may I know myself. When the Spirit pours fortitude or courage into our hearts, we can trust that we will be prepared to stand up for Christ and the gospel when challenged. As the gift of counsel or right judgment grows in us, we can sense the quiet teaching that the Spirit gives us about our moral lives and the training of our consciences. Next, the gift of piety or reverence is an act of respect for the Father who created us, for Jesus who saved us, and the Spirit who is sanctifying us. We learn reverence for God and people from our parents and others who train us in virtue. The Spirit fills us with the gift in our worship and study of the Word. Finally, the gift of fear of the Lord, or wonder and awe in God's presence, can infuse honesty in our relationship with God. A frankness that places us in awe before the majesty of God. Yet, the gift also imparts an attitude of gratefulness and wonder that God loves us and that we can share in His life. When we are responsive to the grace of confirmation and the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit, we begin to bear fruits of the Spirit. At this time, I invite McCoy Rorick will sing a special selection as a song for the confirmation class.
Sea and sky, I have heard my people cry. All who dwell in dark and sin, my hand will save. I who made the stars of night, I will make their darkness bright. I will hold. my people's pain. I have wept for love of them. They turn away. I will break their hearts of stone, give them hearts for love alone. I will speak my word to them. Whom shall I send? Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord, if you lead me. I will hold your people in my heart. I, the Lord of wind and flame, I will tend the poor and lame. I will set a feast for them. My hand will save. Finest bread I will provide till their hearts be satisfied. I will give my life to them. Whom shall I send? Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord, if you lead me. I will hold your people in my heart.
Today I stand honored as the pastor of these fine young adults. I am humbled to have walked on this journey with them. I did nothing special but try to build upon the wonderful work that had already been completed by those of you in our community. The confirmation team reviewed different materials and ordered some items, but we did not want them simply memorizing and regurgitating facts. The parents, the youth ministry team, and the Calvary family had already prepared them so much than the books were offering. So we decided to challenge them with a more collegiate style, critical thinking, and research type approach with room for inquiry and debate. Our goal was simple. We wanted them to own your faith. We wanted to give them the tools of critical thinking and research that would empower them to give answers, to dig for answers, and contend against well-crafted arguments that they will face in the future. So some of the assignments they've done was, one of them was they had to create mission slides on different countries where less than 1% had heard the name of Jesus. They had another assignment was to tackle comparative theologies, one of them being contrasting Arminianism and Calvinism. Another assignment was to process how they would answer a person who would ask them why they follow Jesus. So for their capstone project today, each student has chosen a portion of the Apostles' Creed on which they wrote an essay requiring biblical support and citing theological academic sources. Their papers were reviewed by one of our gifted educators, and on the parts of the creed that are not read, it means that we do not have a student assigned. So just simply fill in the words for the creed at that point. Celebration and applause is appropriate following each student's presentation. So now I ask you to encourage our candidates this morning as they come and share their testimony and they own their faith.
Hello, my name is Samuel Reddington, and I'm a Christian. I first accepted Jesus Christ when I was around 6 and was baptized on April 18th, 2019. I know that I am a Christian today because I believe in Jesus Christ as my Savior and that He has saved me from my sins. My favorite Bible verse is Isaiah 40:28, and that reads, "Do you not know, have you not heard, the Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and His understanding no one can fathom." That verse to me is a demonstration of the complete power that God possesses. Jesus Christ's sacrifice allows us to be reconciled to Him. Everyone that accepts Him as their Savior is forgiven by Him through His death on the cross. He came to save us all, and all we have to do is accept Him. As a Christian, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord. That is the start of the Apostles' Creed and states that God is the maker of all. In the Bible, in John 1-3, it states, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that has already been made." That verse, as well as the creed, states that God is creator of all. Romans 1:4 and Luke 3:22 go hand in hand, stating that Jesus is the Son of God. The passage from Romans saying, "Who was declared the Son of God with the power by the resurrection from the dead, according to the Spirit of holiness, Jesus Christ our Lord." And the passage from Luke saying, "And the Holy Spirit descended upon Him in bodily form like a dove, and the voice came out of heaven, 'You are my beloved Son, and you I am well pleased.'" Backed up by Scripture, the Creed goes hand in hand with the Bible and what it says. The Apostles' Creed is something that Christians should know and implement in their walks of faith. A theologian by the name of R. Albert Mohler Jr. stated that the Creed summarizes the faith in which you believe, and I quote, "No creed or statement of faith can replace the Scriptures. As we have seen, however, this does not mean that that creeds have no place in the Christian life. Those who argue for no creed have forfeited a great gift in maintaining biblical Christianity," end quote. In that sentence, he is talking about how creeds don't replace the text or topic they're talking about, but they summarize them. He later goes on to talk about how those who do not accept the creed are failing to understand what the creed was meant for in the church. Originally, it was created to fight heresy in the direct defense of the gospel. John Calvin stated that the creed furnishes us with a full and every way complete summary of the faith, containing nothing but what has been derived from the infallible word of God. That means that the creed contains information only on the Bible. It can be used in church and in daily life as a reminder of what we believe in. Another reason that Christians believe in the creed is that it defines true Christianity. It is a statement that knits all Christians together in genuine bonds of unity. It very bluntly states what the Christian faith is about. It doesn't take some vague text, but takes the main points of the Bible and very clearly states them in a few lines of text. "I'm a Christian, and I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ because I've caught glimpses of myself and what I would be like without Him, and I don't like it. Jesus Christ is the great Redeemer, and everyone needs redemption. I pray that everyone becomes disciples of Jesus Christ for their own growth in the faith and eventually having the knowledge to disciple others in their own walks of faith. Everyone needs salvation, and that decision determines where you're going to spend your eternity. Jesus made a path of how to live your life, and He displayed that in the Bible. He started by giving us the testimonies of everyone in that book. If you look at one person in the Bible, or any one person in the Bible besides Jesus Christ, you will find that they were all terrible sinners. But also, through the Bible, there are rules and guidelines that help us counter sin. He gave us the Ten Commandments, which are still prudent to us thousands of years later. And finally, He gave us the life of Jesus Christ, someone that lived His entire life and did not sin once. He is someone we can model our entire lives after. In the end, unfortunately, no matter what you do, you will fail and you will sin. But Jesus died on the cross for you to be saved and to be with Him in heaven for eternity. Thank you for listening.
Good morning. My name is McCoy Rorick. I'm so blessed and honored that I have confessed Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I was baptized as an infant and am here on May 15th, 2022 to commit to follow and serve the Lord. I know I'm a Christian because of the friendship I have with the Lord. It's the fact that through the words of the gospel, I have a forgiving Father pouring out unconditional love. Jesus Christ is forgiving, accepting, and supportive. He loved us so deeply that he died for our sins so that we may have eternal life. My favorite Bible verse is Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. As a Christian, I believe Jesus Christ was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. Matthew 1:18 through 25 talks about Jesus Christ's conception and birth. This is how the birth of Jesus Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to have married Joseph. Before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from all their sin. All this took place to fulfill the Lord has said throughout the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son. They will call him Emmanuel. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Christians like theologian Albert Mohler believe that without the virgin birth, Christ is not God. If Christ was not conceived by the Holy Spirit, then he must have a human father, and thus he is not divine. Dr. Legion Duncan, another theologian, states, the virgin birth is the platform for the fulfillment of the central promise of God in all of his covenant dealings with us. This is so important because as Christians, we know the promises that God has made to us. We must always remember that his faithfulness is so great. By knowing that the power of the Holy Spirit was able to conceive a child fully man and fully God, it shows just how powerful God is. It shows that nothing is too big for him, leading me and so many others to offer ourselves to him and become his disciples. It is such a vital reminder in my life to let go and let God. I am McCoy Joshua Rorick, and I am exalted to publicly confess my commitment to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I am a disciple of Christ because I serve the Lord who died for my sins by having a close relationship and always seeking his guidance so I will never have to fear death. People should become his disciples and accept his love and salvation. Thank you all so much for listening and your continued support.
My name is Colson Stahl, and I am a Christian. I was baptized October 30th, 2016. I know I am a Christian today because I believe in God's word and in Jesus Christ. The Bible states that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. My favorite Bible verse is, for nothing will be impossible with God. It's from Luke 1:37. This verse gives me confidence that God can do anything. Jesus means to me that there is hope that we can be redeemed and that there is always good, even when it seems like there isn't. As a Christian, I believe that Jesus suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The scriptural authority behind the Pontius Pilate line is Mark 15:1-20. A verse from this section is, wanting to satisfy the crowd, Pilate released Barabbas to them, and he had Jesus flogged, handed them over to be crucified. This also shows that he was crucified. With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last, and that's from Mark 15:37. So Joseph bought some linen cloth, took down the body, wrapped it in the linen, and placed it in a tomb cut of rock. Then he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb, Mark 15:47. These two verses prove that Jesus' death as well as his burial. His descent into hell is proved by Ephesians 4, 9. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended into the lower earthly regions? Suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell is an important part of the creed and of the Christian faith because it shows that Jesus came to earth and died for us. Jeffrey Wadington says that he came to both obey the holy demands of divine law and to satisfy the equally holy demands of justice. This statement shows that Jesus had to pay the price for us, and if he didn't, we never would have been redeemed. He died and he was buried is an important part of the creed and the faith because it shows that Jesus was fully human. Jesus lived a life which started in the ways ours start, with a birth, and ended in the ways ours end, with a burial. From womb to tomb and everything in between, he lived our life, and that's from Roy Scheiner. If Jesus didn't live in the same type of life we did, then we cannot believe that he was a substitute for our redemption. Jesus led a human life, and we can believe he is a substitute in our redemption because he is fully human and he understands our earthly struggles. This passage of the Creed helps boost my faith because it reaffirms that Jesus died for us. If this passage wasn't included in the Creed, it would make it seem like Jesus' death wasn't important. Since this part is also emphasized in the Creed, it shows that this is the most important thing Jesus did. Suffered under Pontius Pilate helps me live my life because it shows that Jesus suffered on earth just like us. Because he suffered, he didn't give in to temptation. It shows that we can do anything with the power of Christ. This creed statement strengthens me and other Christians to make disciples because it reaffirms our faith. Since it states that he dies, it tells us that he really did conquer death by dying and rising again. It also helps us make disciples because it talks about one of the most important parts of the gospel. This part will help Christians make believers by giving them a part of the gospel to explain. I am a Christian, I am a disciple of Jesus, and because I have faith that Jesus died and rose again, I think everyone should become a disciple of Christ because it will grow their faith as well as make you know Jesus better. I am Colson, and thank you for listening.
My name is Noah Carlson. Most of you know me, but if you don't, hi, my name is Noah Carlson. My piece of the Apostles' Creed was, rose again on the third day. I'm a Christian and have believed as far as I can remember, but only became sentient in what I actually believed since I was 14. I was baptized on August 4th, 2017 in the Philippines while on a mission trip with my family and other members of YWAM. I can know I am a follower of Christ because I believe in his life, death, and resurrection while he was here on earth. I try my best to live like him and have my life point to him. My favorite Bible verses are Ephesians 2, 1 through 8, because it's talking about how terrible we are and how we are dead in sin, but then God saves us. He sends his Son to the cross and does the only thing possible to save us. To me, God is the way out. We are sinful, and God is holy and hates sin. We were supposed to burn in hell and suffer God's wrath, but God loved us too much to let that happen and took the nails for us. As a Christian, I believe that after Jesus suffered and died for us, he rose from the dead after 3 days. There is scripture that clearly supports this, Mark 16:6, Luke 24, 6-7, Matthew 28, 5-6, John 20, 8-9, and these are just the gospel accounts. This is very important to the Christian faith because it is the only way possible to get to heaven. But that's not all it means. Because Christ rose again, it ensures our justification with God. To quote Wayne Grudem in his book, Systematic Theology, by raising Christ from the dead, God the Father was in effect saying that he approved of Christ's work of suffering and dying for our sins, that his work was complete, and that Christ had no longer any need to remain dead. There was no penalty left to pay for sin, no more wrath of God to bear, no guilt remained. In the resurrection, God was saying to Christ, I approve of what you have done, and you find favor in my sight. End quote. So, because Christ was resurrected, this justifies us with God and makes us righteous in his eyes. This also means that things will not stay as they are right now. To quote another great theologian, John Harrigan, in his book, The Gospel of Christ Crucified, because Christ has been raised from the dead, we have assurance of the general resurrection, and thus our faith is not futile. The day of the Lord will actually come, and the dead will actually be raised. Hence, the relevance of Christ's resurrection bears daily upon the struggle and grind of mortality, which slowly breaks down the human psyche with its ruthless accusation that things will forever go on as they are. End quote. In other words, things will change. God will come on Judgment Day, and he will punish evil. He will raise believers to eternal life, and he will make a new heaven and earth, and he will wipe every tear from every eye. Believing in this strengthens my faith because it validates Scripture, and it confirms truth. The fact that Jesus' resurrection fits with the rest of Scripture is evidence that it is true. It helps me live my life because Christians are justified before God and forgiven of their sins. This means I am blameless before God, and I have hope that we will see our loved ones again, that believers will see Jesus face to face, and that we'll be given eternal reward for our faithfulness in this life. Jesus' resurrection is the reason we are supposed to make disciples. If eternal life is a real thing, why would we ever keep it to ourselves? Who cares if they reject us? If anything, they're rejecting Jesus and his offer. I am a Christian because evidence points to the existence of God and the reliability of Scripture. The more I understand science and how things work, the more I see God in everything and his design. Others should know Jesus because it is literally a life changer. Life can and will be difficult, but Jesus offers us comfort. My name is Noah Carlson, and thank you for listening.
Hello, my name is Brooke Sizer. I am a Christian. I was baptized on July 16th, 2006 at First United Methodist Church in Fargo. I know I'm a Christian because I believe in Jesus and have faith and trust in him. My favorite Bible verse would be John 4:16, and so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. To me, Jesus is our Savior and has shown me that we will always be forgiven for our sins if we repent and ask him, and that we will have eternal life. As a Christian, I believe in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I was assigned to study a specific passage of the Creed, where it says, I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints. The Holy Spirit is a very important part of the Christian faith because it gives us guidance and strength. The prophets of the Old Testament were informed by the Holy Spirit. Matthew 1:20 says that Jesus was conceived in Mary through the Holy Spirit. As an adult, Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit as he went throughout the land, teaching and performing miracles. The book of Acts explains how the Holy Spirit was very important in the days following Jesus' death and resurrection. When his disciples and followers were told to spread God's word and Jesus' teaching throughout the world, this was a very difficult task since Christians at the time were persecuted by Romans. Even many of Jesus' own people, the Jews, did not believe he was the Messiah. Without the guidance and strength of the Holy Spirit, his followers would not have been able to carry out their mission. In Acts 9:31, it says, then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified. And walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. In Ephesians 1:13, the Apostle Paul says, in him you also who have heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, and have believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. In the Apostles' Creed, we state that we believe in the Holy Spirit. We count on the Holy Spirit to keep our faith alive. We also say in the Apostles' Creed that we believe in the Holy Catholic Church. This is not referring to the denomination of Catholics that we are familiar with. In the Creed, the Holy Catholic Church does not refer to any denomination or group of Christians. The word Catholic means throughout all time and places, and also points to the essential unity or wholeness of the church in Christ. The term comes from two Greek words that together mean throughout the whole. We state in the Apostles' Creed that we believe in the communion of saints. One explanation of the term communion of saints is that it refers to the whole community of faithful followers of Christ, living and dead, past, present, and future. This faith community stretches beyond space and time. We commune with Christians around the world, believers who come before us and believers who will come after us. We believe that the church is the communion of saints, and as a believer, I belong to the communion of saints. One of the main reasons that this part of the Apostles' Creed is important for faith is that it brings us together. The communion of saints, as stated by theologian R. Albert Mohler, Jr., the affirmations of the Apostles' Creed weave a fabric that knits all Christians together in the genuine bonds of unity. Statements of faith in the creeds of the church unite believers from all ages to the unchanging truth of God's revelation. Believing this creed statement boosts your faith because you can have complete trust in God, the church, and others who believe in him. It can help you live your life because you know that God is always there for you, and you can always go to the church for support. You should also provide aid to the others in the church if they need help. Theologian R. Albert Mohler, Jr. said, "The creeds, therefore, guide the church in worship and contain his most precious truths through which we can worship God and rightly praise his name." This also gives us reasons to make new disciples. John Wesley, founder of the Methodist Church, believed that you cannot be a Christian on your own. He said that we need to be involved in social holiness. Though some often think this term means social justice, its meaning is quite different. Wesley believed we could only grow as Christians in community. In his preface to the 1739 hymnal, he was adamant that the gospel of Christ knows no religion but social, no holiness but social holiness. I am a Christian. I am a disciple of Jesus because I believe in the Lord and wish to be more like him, our Savior. Others should become disciples so they can do the same. My name is Brooke Sizer. Thank you all for listening.
Hello, my name is Jonathan Harms. I am a Christian because I have accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I know this because in Romans 10:9-10, it says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. I was baptized as a believer on February 11th, 2018 by Pastor Dave Mata in the former Calvary United Methodist Church. My favorite Bible verse is John 3:16, which says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." It's kind of generic, but it gives me hope for the future. What does Jesus mean to me? He is my Lord who forgave my sins when I thought no one could. And he gave me comfort during low times because he was always there for me when my dad died. As a Christian, I believe in this statement made in the Apostles' Creed. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. The scriptural backup for this section of the creed can be found in Mark 16, verse 19, that says, "After the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven, and he sat at the right hand of God." There are many theological reasons to believe this statement, so here are two that I have chosen. The first, by Justin Dillehay, who is a respected pastor and theologian, is one of many that argue that it is true because of a very big factor in Christian faith. It is in the Bible. And then Dr. J. Ligon Duncan III, yes, that is his real name, he is a famous theologian that explains they're witnesses to the ascension. The 11 remaining disciples were there, as you can find in the Bible, and there are also letters dating back to this time period that we have found that talk about Jesus ascending into the clouds. These beliefs boost my faith by showing Jesus at God's right hand, which during this time, having a person at your right hand is a way of showing who the host of a gathering thought was important. This tells us that Jesus is in a position of importance, power, and honor to God. This lets me know that I can trust him. I can live out my faith knowing that I can have confidence that the life of Jesus was real, because it shows the power that only one with significant importance to God would have. It strengthens my faith knowing that Jesus is placed at a position of importance to God, so I don't have to waver in my decisions to help others into the eternal paradise of heaven. I am a Christian because I have accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I am a disciple of Christ because I am the type of person that when I sin, it stays as a constant voice in the back of my mind, reminding me over and over what I have done. And this gets to me. So I want to live a better life like Jesus. I also want my sins to be forgiven so I can spend eternity with all whom I love. I will help others become disciples of Jesus and teach them how to be more like him in all that they do. They need to know Jesus' love for them and know his teachings so that they may live a holier life. They can also have eternal life and spend in the fullness of joy that is God's presence with their other loved ones. I am Jonathan Harms. Thank you all so much for listening.
Hello, my name is Andrew Exon. I am a Christian and believe in God the Father Almighty. I was baptized at Epworth United Methodist Church and dedicated at the Fargo Seventh-day Adventist Church. I was dedicated because my dad is an Adventist and my mom wanted me to get baptized in her hometown church that she cherished and the faith that she grew up in. Adventist dedication is dedicating your baby to God and as parents that you like promise that you will nurture your child and raise them in the Word of God. I know that I am a Christian today because I feel God in everything that I do. He is always there to help me when I need him. He is always there for anyone who needs him. My interpretation of Jesus Christ is that he is part of the Trinity, specifically the Son. He is holy and amazing, so holy and amazing that God cannot be explained in words. He gave his only Son up for us to forgive us and our sins. My favorite verse is Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. The part of the Apostles' Creed that I am speaking on is the forgiveness of sins. As a Christian, I believe in the forgiveness of sins. Some Bible verses that relate to this part of the Apostles' Creed are Hebrews 8:12, for I will be merciful towards their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more. Another verse that is good to represent this is Daniel 9:9. The Lord our God is merciful and forgiving, even though we have rebelled against him. There are many more verses in the Bible that support this line in the Apostles' Creed. There are some theological reasons to why this statement is in the Creed. According to Matt Hampton, author of Theological Thursday, Forgiveness of Sins, we should not hold on to our past burdens and sins. The Apostles said that's how we will live in freedom and with joy. We have to be willing to forgive others just as Christ did for us. He also said that Christians should etch the Apostles' Creed and forgiveness itself into our lives. When we forgive people, we forget what they did and don't feel bitterness towards that person or group of people. Another theological reason is by Brian Dennett, author of The Forgiveness of Sins, Faith Church. He said that we are not the only ones forgiven. This means that we cannot just expect to be forgiven all the time. We have to learn to forgive others. According to Ellie John Duncan, author of the Apostles' Creed, this clause affirms our beliefs in the forgiveness of sins. The pagans didn't believe the forgiveness and mocked the Christians about it. Forgiveness back then was considered weak-spirited. The pagans had questioned how you could do some act of evil and yet not through the forgiveness of God. Believing in this creed statement helps me to boost my faith and knowing that if I make mistakes, God will always forgive. I'm not worn down by all the sins I have caused over the years because I am forgiven. This statement in the creed helps me to live my life better. I live it better because I don't have a burden and I know that God will forgive any sin that I cause. This helps me to live my life freely. But this also doesn't just mean that you can live thinking that all your sins are forgiven with like no cost. You have to try and live like God. This creed statement helps me and others to make disciples. It also strengthens us by knowing whatever bad things we do, God will always be there for us. It helps Christians to make disciples because they can be forgiven. They let go of their burdens and send them to God because they are forgiven. I am a Christian and believer of God. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ because I know that if I make a mistake, God will still be accepting. I can keep going on because I know this. Other people should become disciples of Jesus because we can mature in our faith with God and our lives will be transformed. My name is Andrew Rexon and thank you for listening.
I ask you now on behalf of the whole church, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sins? If so, say I do. Do you accept the freedom and power God gives us to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, say I do. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord? If so, say I do. Then according to the grace given to you, will you remain faithful members of Christ's holy church and serve as Christ's representatives in the world? If so, say I will. At this time, can we have the parents and or sponsors to stand? Will you who sponsor these candidates support and encourage them in their Christian life? If so, say I will. At this time, we ask the entire congregation to stand. Do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, say we do. And will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include these persons who are now before you in your care? If so, say we will. Let us pray. Almighty God, Lord, the work you have begun to do in them, God, we ask that your Holy Spirit just descend upon them and be with them, Lord. Bless them as part of Christ's family, Christ's holy church, and prepare them for the work that you have them, Lord, in the future to come. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. At this time, we welcome up our college-bound high school graduates, if they'll come forward. And while they come forward, I'm going to ask you guys to move forward and step down, to one step down. We're going to invite our elders and our ministry leaders to come forward. And if parents want to come forward too, we're going to take some time and just lay hands on them and pray. And we're going to ask the congregation to extend their arms forward. And if we can just have two or three people, no more than three people, that's willing to pray for our young people this morning. Because how many know that the statistic that tells you once kids leave high school, that they'll maintain their faith, there's a dramatic drop-off. The percentage is pretty sad in terms of the number of youth that will maintain their faith once they leave home. So we're going to be praying that God just cover them. God just seal them. That what the faith that they have right now will be with them even when they leave here, when they go out into life, whether it's college, the workforce, that they hold on to Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ holds on to them.
The Apostle Paul, speaking to Timothy, said, do not neglect your gift, which was given through a prophetic message from the body elders to lay their hands on you. So in Jesus' name, we pray that the Holy Spirit will touch these young men. Lord, fill them with your power and your love and your joy. Equip them with your unique gifts, Lord. Lord, that they might be sent out, that they might be messengers for you, God. Lord, that they live that missional lifestyle, Lord, of seeking you, Lord, loving you, Lord, and then sharing that with others, Lord. Bless these young men. Fill them with the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name.
Almighty God, we ask that you just, as just was prayed, Lord, that you not just fill them, but Lord, let them overflow with your Holy Spirit, God. Lord, the enemy is going about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, God. And he especially has the target on the back of men in this country, Lord. He wants to take them down with all sorts of vices and temptations and distractions, Lord. But we need godly men to stand up, to lead communities, to lead families, Lord, when so much of the society is telling them that they are not as valuable in community or as needed in family, Lord. When they share that narrative, Lord, we need men to stand up to say that, yes, men bring value to community. Men bring value to families. Men have a purpose. And Lord, we need them to lead our churches, to lead our home, to lead our communities, God, as you have so set forth in your word. Empower these young men, God. Because we know it's not by might, nor by our strength, but by your spirit, Lord, that this will be done. In Christ's name.